Good morning. It's Saturday morning, which means it's time for another edition of the Weekend Edition here on Highland Radio. I hope you're very well. Coming up on the programme, Emerald Guitars have been a huge success. The company's founder, Alistair Hayes, in studio to discuss a recent eventful trip to China and other things he's experienced. You fancy a holiday but don't want to pay for accommodation? Well, we'll hear of a night-swapping website. There's a new book of Irishisms. Author Seamus O'Connell's with me to discuss those. Singer-songwriter Barry J. Hughes is up in the region. He'll be in studio too to perform live for us. Gillian Kennedy from Youth Reach is in the studio to discuss the organisation's 25th anniversary, while Breezy also joins us on the programme to tell us why she's baking bread for peace. 086 77 00 555 is the text line. You can call us on 074 91 25000, or if you wish, you can tweet me at GregHughes2. So, your calls, comments, requests, more than welcome. Celebrating a birthday, a wedding, anniversary, get in touch and we'll announce it for you. 086 77 00 555. If you wish to text or call, 074 91 25000. Marion is taking your calls today. Quick look at the newspapers, starting with the Irish Sun. They're featuring Conor McGregor, the UFC star. Well, he's splashed out quite a bit of money, €300,000 indeed, on some top-of-the-range cars as he prepares for his next big fight. But more notable, from my perspective at least, is that he's actually donated €50,000 to two charities who help the homeless. So he's spreading his wealth somewhat there. Fair play to him. The Irish Daily Star, rot in hell. A day after 7,000 people attended the funeral of hero Garda Tony Golden, just eight mourners attended the cremation of his killer, Adrian Crevan Macken, who's 25. Macken also turned his illegally held Glock pistol on his partner Siobhan Phillips, who's fighting for her life in hospital before killing himself. The Irish Daily Mirror, horror of baby dumped in plastic bag, which they've seen fit to reproduce a picture of this. Thankfully the tot survived, but obviously I think the concern at this point would be for the mother of that child, who certainly would need help herself, I'd imagine. But that was in the Philippines, that story is coming from, believe it or not. The Irish Independent, why was I given lethal cancer drug after it was recalled? This is a story that will strike fear into many people, but the HSE have come out to say that you should fear not. But a grandmother battling breast cancer told of her deep shock after discovering she may have received a contaminated chemotherapy treatment days after it should have been recalled. 68-year-old Mary Murphy from Kildare is one of 200 patients who fear potentially life-threatening infection from the infusion of chemotherapy. They were administered in public and private hospitals. She said last night, "I was told the chemotherapy I received in St. James on Wednesday could have been contaminated, but she was contacted on Thursday and asked if she had any symptoms," and goes on to say, "it was a shock." The Irish Times, their top story, number of boys in self-harm cases shows major rise. Indeed, we did something on this programme, well, not this programme actually, it was Sean's show last year, which showed that self-harm amongst young males was on the increase, and it seems that that horrible trend is continuing. Hundreds of children aged between 10 and 14 years required emergency hospital treatment last year after inflicting injuries upon themselves. This is according to new official figures. Nationally, the number of self-harm cases stabilised in 2014, but there was a surge in the number of under-14s, according to the annual report of the National Self-Harm Registry. Schmidt Ireland hopeful it'll not be last tango in Cardiff is a sports story on the front of the Irish Times. Joe Smith's Ireland will attempt to go boldly where no Irish rugby team has gone before this weekend, to a World Cup semi-final. Irish Daily Mail, finally, halting sites will be built. This is the story of council officials. They're going to use a court injunction to force through the controversial Carrick Mines halting sites. Residents objected to the plan have been warned. Locals have been told there's no alternative to where the council wants to build a temporary site for a bereaved traveller family. This is two children, indeed, bereaved by that horrible and tragic Carrick Mines fire. Homeowners, though, and Dunlera Rathdown Council remained deadlocked over the plan last night. One councillor warned that the council was adamant. Right, that's a quick look at the newspapers. 086 77 00 555 is the text line. You can call us on 074 91 25000. And I'm joined in studio this morning by Alistair Hay of Emerald Guitars. Alistair, thank you so much for coming in.
That's good to be here.
Tell us about your company, how long you've been manufacturing these guitars, because through the course of doing this programme, it's a name I hear from musicians really quite regularly. Do you know what I mean? So it's obviously a musician's musical instrument, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, I made my first guitar in 1998, so it's going back, what, 15 years or more now. As a company, we've been going since sort of the early 2000s and been sort of slowly building it up. And it's just getting to a stage now where it's working really nice, you know.
And it's about who plays them often and reputation and how they sound, and if you get the right endorsements, that's what really makes one brand stand out from the next. And that's really where you're going with your products.
Absolutely. Well, I think, you know, for us, it took a very long time to try and build any kind of brand name. You know, because you're competing against companies like Martin and Gibson, and, you know, that have been in the business for well over 100 years. Mm. So you're coming in as this new guy that's building new guitars in a new way with new materials, and it takes a long time to get credibility in the market. So we've been kind of chipping away for a long time. And thankfully now, with various things we've done, we've got to a stage where we've been getting some good notice around the world.
And And how do you, is it a big balance in terms of getting a design, say if you want something that really stands out, something really different, maybe in terms of shape, versus how it plays and how it sounds to a very well-tuned musician's ears?
Yeah, well, I suppose everything that I do has to come from the standpoint of being a proper instrument.
Yeah.
You know, so I've made some very unusual guitars that almost look like they're unplayable, but they have to be first playable, and foremost, a proper instrument. And even more so with the acoustic instruments. So we're always going at it from a standpoint of how it plays and as the starting point. And then if I can be creative after that, then that's an added bonus. And that's sort of really where I've been.
I have a guitar beside me here that has been around the world effectively with you, and we'll hopefully take some pictures and post it on social media. But describe it to us. What is the concept of this? Where did this guitar begin?
Well, I suppose this guitar began in Lower Main Street, Letterkenny, in 1993, because that's when I first met the artist who painted this guitar, Crystal Iwahand, who's now known as Tenzin Dalma in Tibet. And I met her when she was travelling around the world. She was backpacking with a friend, and little did I know really at that time that they were pretty much penniless and homeless. You know, they were just travelling without any budget, making their way around. And I offered to give them some hospitality and brought the two girls home. And my mother looked after them for 3 or 4 days and, you know, and just gave them somewhere to stay. But she told me all these stories about her travels, and in gratitude, she painted a picture of a horse for me. And that picture was sort of a prized possession ever since. And it kind of inspired me. It was a horse galloping in the wind, and there was an inscription on it. And it was really about, you know, going to the edge and doing something.
Bit of freedom.
About freedom, really. And I lost contact with them, as you do, you know. And then with the power of Facebook, reconnected about 4 or 5 years ago. And we started talking, sharing her stories about where we had gone. And she had been traveling and never stopped traveling. She ended up in northern India, living in a Tibetan monastery with monks, teaching them English for 10 years. And then it moved on up into China and is now in a Tibetan area of China called Lebrang. And she runs an art academy there.
Has her journey finished for now then? So,
well, yeah, she now owns furniture and owns a house. And she was saying that, you know, it's the first piece of furniture she ever owned in her life was when she was 41. And that was about a year ago. So she's slowed down now, and she has this group of 10 students that she has been teaching her art and techniques. And she teaches them a combination of Western and Tibetan art.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kind of studied really in depth the Tibetan artwork. And she's got these students that live with them. They all live together in a little kind of a commune place. Mm. And they're in a 5-year intensive program, really studying the depth of the art. So it's a fabulous place, but to bring it all back, we had talked about trying to find some way to collaborate, but you know, how does that really ever happen? And then out of the blue, about 2 years ago, a customer contacted me looking for this unusual 9-string guitar, and then we started talking about, you know, how we would decorate it and stuff, and he mentioned about having various Buddhist and Taoist philosophers depicted on the guitar. So instantly I knew the
that
perfect...
That twigged to you, yeah. You know the artist for that.
I said, I know the leading person in the world to do this piece of art. So I put the idea to him and he said, well, you know, definitely, if you can put this together, I'd love to be part of it. And so he covered the costs of going out there and having the artwork done. And, you know, we made what is just probably the most special guitar that I've ever made.
Yeah, and it is completely unique. So it's amazing. What astonishes me about this whole thing initially, though, and we'll get to the other aspects that astonish me, this was commissioned like 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
I mean, that's when the conversation started.
That's when the conversation, and actually that's when the deposit was put in. So it's been in the works a long way. You know, some of these things, they obviously take quite a while. And with this one, the big hold up was trying to get the time to go to Tibet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy to get not easy to get away and just run
well,
to the other side of the world,
haven't you? But, so, in terms of the design, then, did you give this lady free hand in that, or did you say my client wants this, that, and the other, and then she interpreted that, or how?
Well,
does it work?
The client gave us a list of different philosophers that had inspired him in his life, and really the idea was that the people that had inspired him and inspired his music would be depicted on the instrument that he would use to create the music on.
Do we know who he is?
Well, his name's Brandon Lewis, but he's not a, you know, he wouldn't be renowned in that sort of way. So I'm sure nobody locally knows him, but a very interesting character. Music is his second job, more of a passion, I think.
Yeah.
His main day job is actually he's a circus acrobat. So quite a unique and unusual character, which I'm looking forward to meeting because he's going to come collect the guitar in person.
Wow. You went out there then, and I mean, you obviously, it's not a 2 hour job here. So what did you do when you were out there while the art was being done?
Yeah. Well, so, you know, we went out there and the idea was we were, first of all, I brought Alan along with me, Alan McLaughlin from Letterkenny here, who works for me doing film and photography. So we decided that we'd bring him along and he would capture the process and the trip. So the idea was that Tenzin would do the artwork and I would go and hike in the hills and explore the monasteries and, you know, be a tourist for a week and just find myself in Tibet, you know. Seemed like a great idea. But we got there and we discovered that they had been digging up all their street. All the houses along the way were having a water supply put in. And when they were getting a water supply, it just brought water really to their entrance and then they had to do something with it afterwards. So these houses didn't have any water. There was no running water at all. And we started talking to them about what we could maybe do to help, you know, and rather than watching them dig holes, we'd help them dig some holes. So we did that the first day and then we started, you know, seeing if we could help, you know, take this a little bit further.
Yeah.
And one of the big issues out there in Tibet is the very, very severe winters. And they haven't really heard about insulation. You know, maybe in some of the big modern developments they would, but these people...
Once you go out to the more remote areas, the towns and the smaller villages and communes.
And, you know, they're a lot of these people would be from nomadic backgrounds, you know, so they're used to just dealing with the cold. But so the concept of insulating pipes and, you know, they just turn the water off in the winter and assume it's going to freeze. So I started, you know, saying, well, if I could help you, you know, maybe find a different way to do this, we could maybe see if we could get you a way that you get a water all over the winter. So we went off to another big town about 100 miles away and managed to find insulation for the pipes. And we came up with a plan of how to bury them deeper in the ground and various different things.
So simple, but
absolutely
life-changing.
I'm not a plumber, but with the power of Google, you know, and a couple of phone calls back here, we kind of worked out a bit of a plan to help them. And so all the students took a week off their studies and helped us put the whole thing together, and we came up with a plan and we all did it together, and we laid water pipes and we brought water into their house. And
so you did find yourself, but perhaps not necessarily how you anticipated.
Not at all. But you know what, I've been on some incredible trips in my life, but digging holes in Tibet was the best experience of my life.
Yeah.
You know, they were such a great group of people. And if we had been just there and brushing shoulders with them, you wouldn't really get to know them.
Yeah.
But when you're, you know, covered
up in elbows and, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
And was this, did you continue to film, though, when you had the opportunity? Or?
Well, we did film a little bit, but the filming kind of took a side. Because Alan, I mean, you know, he wasn't brought there to dig holes, but he very much, very quickly volunteered to do that.
So, back to this guitar, the nine string. What's the difference between the nine string and, what is it, regular six string guitar?
Well, this guitar, it has an extra three bass strings.
Right.
So it allows him to play like bass lines over the top of his guitar pieces. So it just gives him an extra added range.
And what's something like... we were talking just briefly before we went on air. It's not going to be easy for you to give this guitar back to this fella, is it?
No, I think in the last 2 days I've become even more attached
That's
to it.
That's what I'm thinking, because, you know, your whole Tibetan experience, your friendship that you rekindled, the work that you did with the locals, it's all tied into this guitar in one form or other.
It is. It's my story in that guitar, and he gets to keep it. It's not really fair.
Buy him out.
I just might do that. But no, I think, you know, when you make a guitar for somebody, it's the customer that's the starting point for it.
Mm.
And it really only fulfills his potential and fulfills the story when the customer makes music on it. So I think, you know, whenever he takes it back and starts writing music on it, that's really when the story is kind of completed.
Mm.
So it is more special for the customer to have that, and the story will indeed inspire him.
Well, that's what music's about, isn't it? I mean, there is that sort of spiritual aspect to it as well, isn't it, for some people?
Yeah, very much so.
Tell us about other people that that play your guitars now, because as you say, over the course of the last 15, 16 odd years, or even beyond that, you've been building up the Emerald guitar brand and its reputation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we've been lucky to work with some incredible people over the years. I mean, everybody locally remembers the green guitar that I made for Mickey Joe Hart for the Eurovision years ago, and I still get asked about it almost on a daily basis. But moving on from that, I mean, we've been lucky enough to build some guitars for Steve Vai, who was my inspiration and into getting into guitar in the first place. So.
And it's not just a case of having it, he plays it.
Oh yeah, a guitar that I made for him way back in 2001, he toured with there for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Just recently, so that was just a dream come true to have Steve Vai playing one of my guitars, because I heard his music for the first time when I was about 18, and 2 weeks later I went and bought my first guitar. It had that much impact on me. And then we've built guitars for other people, like the most famous that nobody knows of is a guy called Wang Li Hom, and Li Hom is one of the most famous musicians in Asia, very famous in China. And he approached me to build a guitar in the shape of a Chinese dragon. And that is probably the most famous guitar in the world, but nobody in the West knows about it. It's over there, it's become quite a phenomenon.
Really? And, there's pictures of this on your website, I presume?
Yes, yeah, so if you go into the custom Excellent. Section on our website, there's lots of pictures and the stories are all on there.
Yeah, because going through your website, you blog quite a bit, and it seems there is a story. It's not just, you don't just build something and that's it. There is always some bit of you in there or some story in there.
Yeah, I mean, the tagline we've kind of been working with this year is that we don't just build guitars, we build stories. And I didn't set out to do that at the start, but it's kind of naturally happened. You know, we have a very close contact with a lot of our customers. And, you know, every guitar does have a story. A guitar is a very personal instrument. You know, you hold it and you're holding it close. It becomes very intimate.
Mm.
And so customers always contact me and they tell me about where they're playing them and what they're doing.
Yeah, musicians notice that more than someone I would, because it does become an extension of yourself, doesn't it?
It does.
That's what you know, that's what people tell me. It kind of almost completes a circuit.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's, you know, it's taking what's inside their head, and it's the conduit to actually allow that to be expressed.
Yeah.
So it is quite a personal thing.
This thing's got no strings on it.
No.
I don't know how to break this to you, but it's not finished.
Yeah, well, the guy's actually an air guitarist. He doesn't use strings.
Jeez, no, I could have a go at that one.
It's hopefully it'll have strings again on Monday.
Very good.
So it's, well, you know, the guitar's been in creation for the last 22 years, so there's no rush in getting the last little bit done.
Mm. So. He's got a very unique piece of equipment, and I don't know how much he's paying you for it, but it's never going to lose its value. That can be, you could say that for absolute certainty, unless he smashes it.
Well, you know, I think the greatest thing about this customer is he understands that it's not just about the value of the guitar in monetary terms, it's about the story that went into it. And, you know, and he embraced the story as soon as I told it to him. And, you know, it's the story that has the value.
Brilliant.
So,
and what next for the company then? What's your plan going forward? Keep going? How are you going?
Well, we are on a bit of an expansion curve at the moment. You know, things have been going great this year. And
because I presume on one hand you're building stock up and you know, you don't want everything to be commissioned, do you? Because, I mean, that...
No, we have a standard.
You want a turnover?
Yeah, we have a standard range of guitars, but actually the custom side has been really where the hard push has been on. Yeah. We've been doing a lot more custom work, and that's the exciting part because it gives us, you know, something to do that's just a bit more interesting, you know.
Make a great TV show.
Who knows?
Do you know what I mean? Like, you see a lot of these, particularly in America, you know, you've got these gun shows and you've got the car shows and the bike shows and that. Why not a guitar show?
Well,
custom guitars.
Hopefully the right person will see that, well, and you never know.
I sometimes wonder if there's the drive in our country for those type of things, but I think it'd make for a great program anyway. Alistair, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for sharing
this guitar with us. And maybe when he calls back, you can come back in with it. He can play us a tune on it.
Yeah, well, it's looking like it might be next May before he can actually get time off the circus to get here. So
we've got all the time in the world.
So, yeah, we'd definitely love to do something.
And
more.
Check out the website, Emerald Guitars.
EmeraldGuitars.com.
And you can see pictures of that, of the guitars we've been talking about. And we're going to take a couple of... Marion's going to take a couple of this and get it up on social media so people can see what we're talking about. But it's the story behind it that's really special.
It is, yeah, very much so.
Alistair, thanks so much.
Oh, actually, can I just say,
yes?
if anybody wants to see the artwork by the artist, they can find her work on the AMDO Arts Project on Facebook.
So, AMDO Arts.
AMDO.
AMDO, okay.
Arts Project.
And that's clear-coated over at the top of that, is it? Yeah.
It is, yeah.
It needs to be. Yeah. Lovely. Alistair, hey, thanks so much for calling in.
Okay.
Kate Pringle, good morning.
Hello, Greg.
How are you?
Oh, very good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Tell us about your website, nightswapping.com. It's not probably as sexy as it sounds, is it?
No. Well, it is in a way.
Okay, go on.
It's a great concept. Basically, Nightswapping is an online platform which offers you a new way to travel where there's no money exchange between members. Mm. And you might be thinking, how is there no money exchange between members? And this is basically because members who create a profile on the site no longer need money to travel. They use Nights, which is the virtual currency. So say, for example, a Dutch couple wants to do a tour of Ireland. So they contact a night swapper, which is what we call our members, in perhaps Letterkenny, who are signed up to the site. And the Dutch couple wants to stay for 3 nights. So they sort the dates between each other, so both parties are okay. And so once the Dutch couple has come and stayed for 3 nights, the person that's hosted them will in turn earn themselves 3 nights, which will go onto their profile. Mm-hmm. So in essence, for every night that you earn by hosting another member, every night you host a member for 1 night, you earn yourself 1 night, and you can then use that night to stay and travel for free with another member anywhere in 160 countries. So
they're interchangeable. If I build up 3 nights with this Dutch couple, I can use those 3 nights not only in Holland, for instance, but I could use them against other properties in other countries.
Yeah, exactly. And we it gives you quite a lot of choice. You sort of host for nights in Letterkenny in this nice Irish town, and then you can go off to, I don't know, Croatia. Mm. So if you hosted someone for 3 nights and then someone else for 5 nights, you have 8 nights. And you can sort of build them up and then spend a couple or keep building, or it's totally up to you. You can go in any country.
I don't want to compare it to other products, but is it something like Airbnb in that, you know, if you were coming over here to stay in my house, Kate, that I'd be in the house and you'd be in a spare room? Is that type of thing? Or would my house need to be vacant?
Well, it's totally up to you. There's different kinds of accommodations on the website. So you could just offer your guest room, or you could offer people access to your whole house. It's totally up to you. But I think obviously the difference with Nightswapping and Airbnb is that with Nightswapping there's no exchange of money between members. And with Airbnb there is. And I think you're actually, with Nightswapping, because there's no money involved, you're kind of, I feel like you're going back to the basics of sharing and this idea of the sharing economy, and you're staying with the locals, so I think it's kind of a quite a give and take concept.
Well, especially considering in this country at the very least, and I think it's the same in Britain, that revenue was starting to crack down on those using the Airbnb system, you know, in that it's an income and you should be paying tax on it, which is worrying quite a few people, I presume, in this situation, because it's like gratis to all intents and purposes, that you would not have to worry about that.
Yeah, I think Airbnb is facing a bit of criticism at the moment, which is, I think, a bit unfair sometimes. But it's true that because there's no exchange of money between members with night shopping, we don't have that problem. And also there's no problems of the landlord, of the landlord thinking, oh, my tenant is subletting because it's just like you're having someone to stay, really.
Yeah. And what are the checks and balances in terms of making sure that if I go over to Croatia that I'm not staying with an axe murderer?
Yes, I know. I think there is this question sometimes. But I think a couple of things. One thing is that you kind of, I feel like sometimes you just have to trust the world, which is easier said than done, perhaps. But we have quite a lot of checks in place. For example, we have a dedicated team at the Night Swapping HQ that deal with checking all the profiles that get put up. So when you do sign up, you have to put up an ID card or a passport, and you get a text through to your phone, which you then send back with the code. And also we have an insurance. So since July, we actually have a partnership with Allianz, worldwide insurance provider. So it means that every time you confirm a night swap online, which is where you sort of just click the confirm button, you are automatically covered by night swapping for absolutely free anytime during a night swap. So if there was an axe murderer who chopped up your house, then we would cover the cost of the damage.
Okay, well, that's an interesting safety net. So what is your portfolio like? Say, for instance, do you have a lot of clients in Ireland generally?
Yeah, we've got, it's actually really, we've got, I can't remember the figures exactly, but we do have a lot of members in Ireland at the moment. I think perhaps more so than Britain. People seem to be, we're getting a lot of positive feedback from Irish people. But yeah, we've got people from sort of Galway to Lisbon to Dublin, sort of everywhere. I mean, naturally, you have slightly more, like a higher concentration of members in the capitals.
And what you might also, you know, outside of the capitals, I imagine that you'll end up having hotspots, you know, in nice capital cities or nice cities, and also then in, you know, nice rural areas. You know, there's going to be certain places people certainly won't want to go. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think obviously we have members all across Ireland from the most rural parts to the biggest cities. But at the end of the day, I think people use night swapping for different reasons. Some people might use it to get away for a break in a really, really tiny rural place. And obviously Ireland's a really beautiful country. Mm-hmm. So I think we use it for different reasons, really.
And you're not doing this for the good of your health. Is it expensive? I presume you have to register with your site to, you know, use the in-betweeners and the go-between, should I say, in providing the insurance and what have you. Is it expensive to register, and how much do we have to pay you?
Well, that is a good thing. There's basically only one time with night swapping where you have to pay money. So when you sign up to the site, that's absolutely free. When you put in all your information and you put up your listing, that's your home, that's free. The only time when you have to pay money is if you decide you want to go on a night swap with the nights you've earned. So say you wanted to go to Berlin for a weekend. The only time when you'd pay money is when you click on that confirm button. You have to pay a €9.90 reservation fee. That's the only time when you pay money. So,
and that would be for, even if I was staying for five nights, that would be the one-off fee?
Yeah, that's a good thing, actually. The $9.90 is irrelevant of how many people are doing the night swap and of how many nights you're staying. So you could stay for 20 nights and you've paid yourself £9.90, which is, €9.90.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, it's not much difference anyway. Listen, Kate, it's very interesting. Thanks so much.
That's great. You're welcome. It's been nice to talk to you, Craig.
You too, thanks. That's Kate Pringle there from nightswapping.com. What do you think about that? Would you take part in that? 086-7700-555. It's kind of like the conversation we have had with Airbnb in the past, and that I don't know about having strangers in my house, but it seems they do have quite a few checks and balances in place there to ensure that, the old axe murderer situation doesn't come to pass. Sinead McLaughlin, how are you?
I'm grand, Rick. How are you?
Very, very good. Now, there's a whole load of events going on today, isn't there? What's it about? The Wayne Fest. Tell us more about it.
Greg Wayne Fest is a children's arts and book festival run by Donegal County Council Library Service. So today is the end of the festival, so to celebrate that, we're having a big, massive event down here in the Regional Cultural Centre. So it's the Diary of a Wimpy Kid show. It's a draw-along, and we have the host, Alistair Watson, has come the whole way from England to bring a show to the RCC. So it is a must for any Diary of a Wimpy Kid fans out there.
And it's targeting a great age group sometimes that fall between the cracks, and that's 8 to 12-year-olds.
Yes, well, actually, the Wimpy Kid show, yeah, from 8 to 12 upwards. Perfect age for them.
So that's at 1 o'clock in the RCC. What else is happening today?
Well, there's scary stories in the museum, the County Museum, Greg, and that's kicking off at 2 o'clock and 3:30. So that event is up in the museum. And then we have some partners involved in Wayne Fest this year. So there's some crazy antics in the Courtyard Shopping Centre. So because of the Diary of Wimpy Kid theme is running right through the town, they're having their own right on their Wimpy Kid wall on A Day From Your Diary. And it was the funniest entry winning a prize, and they'll have storytelling, they have arts and crafts, and they have life-size games. So there's lots happening down in the courtyard as well. And then Universal Books as well is involved in Wayne Fest, so they're having an interactive hiring fair show. So as you know, hiring fairs are common in rural Ireland, so they're just having a reenactment of that down at Universal Books, and that's at 1:30 as well. And then Easton's and Crafty Kids are getting involved. They have a Lego competition and they have arts and crafts, and that's all free.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, if you are listening to the radio wondering what I'm going to do for the day,
and to do today?
You're within travelling distance of Letterkenny, or indeed you are in Letterkenny, well, there you go. Just for anyone who missed that, because there's so much, is this on the internet or on a Facebook page or anything people can?
Yeah, it's log on to Donegal Library Facebook page, and you can log on to donegallibrary.ie, the web page, and you'll get all the information. So the booking lines have closed now for the Wimpy Kids show, but if you want to bring your kids, just come on down to the RCC and you can pay your €5 at the door. Okay?
Excellent. We hope you have a fantastic day. I know you're up to your ears, I would say, are you?
Yes, I'm getting ready to put a dinosaur on a show.
All right, I'll let you get on with that. Thank you
so
much.
Thank you, Greg.
All right,
thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.